Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We are studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we're looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 20, the resurrection of Jesus. On the Sunday which churches observe as Palm Sunday, 5 days before the Passover, in Judaism, it was Lamb Selection Day, according to Exodus chapter 12. The shouts during Jesus' procession into Jerusalem were Hosanna, or save us, from the Romans, is what they're thinking. And Lamb of God, redeem us from our sins. The three feasts in March and April, as we understand it, on the Jewish calendar, on the weekends Jesus died, were the Passover on Nisan 14, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, commemorating that, the unleavened bread on Nisan 15, the hurried departure, and then the first fruits on Nisan 16, the initial token of the coming harvest. On the Passover, at precisely 3 p.m., a priest blew the shofar, and the lamb was slain. At that moment, at that very moment, when the priest blew the shofar at 3 p.m., and the lamb was slain, at that very moment, Jesus cried, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let me ask you, have you yet asked him to forgive your sins? Unleavened bread celebration included a prayer that the crop just planted be blessed. On that day that Jesus had recently been buried or planted. On the day of first fruits, a sheaf of wheat was brought to the priest to offer thanksgiving. That morning, Jesus was resurrected, raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was the first fruits from the dead, the promise of a harvest to come at Pentecost and then down through history right to you and me. If you haven't gone there yet, turn to Matthew chapter 28 and let's look at the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. First, there was the reality of the resurrection. Verses 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. A great earthquake, a second earthquake associated with Christ's death, when an angel rolled back the stone from the door. I got a question. Why did the angel move the stone? Jesus could rise from the dead. He needed no help getting out of an earthly tomb. No. Why did the angel move the stone? It was to let the woman and the apostles in, not to let Jesus out. And the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb became like dead men. This is a powerful image. Roman soldiers knew nothing of fear, but the sight of it, of the angel, melted them. The angel did not have to say anything or raise a weapon. Jesus never fails to fulfill a promise. And here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see where he lay buried in Joseph's unused tomb. Someone said and wrote, before his birth, Jesus lay in a virgin tomb. After his death, someone said, before his birth, Jesus lay in a virgin womb, and after his death, Jesus lay in a virgin tomb. And here are the events of the resurrection as taken from all four gospel accounts. You see, when you look at an event in Scripture, in the Gospels in particular, in order to get all of the details and the whole picture of that event, you need to look at all four Gospels for that event, because each one is telling it from a different perspective. And they're pointing out and looking at different things. But here are the events of the resurrection taken from all four of the Gospel accounts. Finding the stone rolled away, the women entered the tomb but found it empty. And while they were still in the tomb, the angel suddenly appeared. The angel who spoke reminded them of Jesus' promises, then sent them to find Peter and the disciples to report that Jesus was risen. And the women did as they were told. The disciples were skeptical but ran to where the tomb was. John arriving first, but Peter entering the tomb first. They saw the linen wrappings intact but empty, proof that Jesus was risen. They left immediately. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb and was standing outside weeping when Christ suddenly appeared to her. That was his first appearance. Sometime soon after, he met the other women on the road and appeared to them as well. Later that day, he appeared to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus and to Peter. Scripture references at least 10 appearances of Jesus Christ between the resurrection and the ascension. To Mary Magdalene at the tomb, to the women on the road, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to Peter, to 10 of the 11 disciples without Thomas, to the 11 disciples with Thomas 8 days later, to 7 disciples by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, to more than 500 disciples, probably somewhere in Galilee, to James, and to the apostles when he ascended into heaven, and then after his ascension, he appeared to Paul. Listen, the next time Jesus appears, he will be in glory. In verse 6, the angel said, come and see. In verse 7, the angel said, go and tell. Listen, you cannot tell the message until you know it. We must see the experience, the plan of salvation, then we must do the work of evangelism. Jesus has risen. Let me ask you, have you received him as Savior? We're going to be going to Galilee in just a moment, but meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, Second, there was a rejection of the resurrection. Verses 11 to 15. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while he slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The Jewish leaders were determined to cover up what had occurred. They remained stubborn in unbelief, even in the face of the evidence. The bribery was necessary because the soldier's story, if true, could cost them their lives, since they were charged with guard duty under Pilate's personal orders. The Jewish leaders promised to cover for the soldiers if the false story did get back to Pilate. The story was so obviously made up. How could they know what had happened while they slept? Okay? Now, on to Galilee. Third, there was the result of the resurrection. Verses 16 down to verse 20. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. There are five phrases in this passage which are most important to you and me as we serve Jesus, fulfilling the Great Commission. All authority, it says. Absolute sovereign authority, lordship over all is handed to Christ in heaven and on earth. Everything is under his rule. There's nothing that's not under his authority. Second, therefore. What that therefore means, as it said, what's the therefore? Therefore, well, the therefore is there for what was just said. Therefore, on the basis of his authority, go and make disciples of all nations. Our unlimited commission with his unlimited authority. He has authority over all, and he tells us to go and make disciples because of that authority. And then third, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what that means? That means God is in it. It's that simple. This is God's work that we are commissioned to do, and he is in it. And it speaks of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then the fourth thing, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Listen, evangelism does not end with the conversion of the unbeliever, but instead becomes discipleship of the growing believer. And then Jesus says, I am with you. I am with you. God is with us and will remain with us, he said, even to the end of the age, or until he returns bodily to judge the world and establish his earthly kingdom. That's the story of the life of Jesus. His death and burial and resurrection. You have a great day.